devil is in the details, in the sense that the nature, the specific nature of the offering will determine its success or failure. Broadly speaking, conceptually, the idea of trying to sell music and other entertainment to heavy downloaders of music and other entertainment is not flawed. The question is, will it really satisfy the want?
This is PodTech.net for Friday, August 18th. I'm Matt Kelly. As consumers go online to acquire more and more music and other forms of digital entertainment, one market research firm is compiling and analyzing all the data. BigChampagne.com, an online media measurement company, follows the consumer. So with the recent announcement from iMesh about their release of BearShare 6.0, I wanted another perspective and to go deeper about the state of the P2P industry, where it's been from its infancy with the original Napster to the lawsuits brought by big entertainment giants like MPAA and RIAA, to the transformation that's going on with companies right now going legitimate, if you will, and assuring compensation to copyright holders. So with me right now is Eric Garland, CEO of BigChampagne.com, to help with my quest. Eric, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Happy to be here.
Give me a brief nutshell of the peer-to-peer industry, where it's been, where it sits right now, and where it's going. Talk about the iMesh release of BearShare and the lawsuit crazy atmosphere that seems to be prevalent in the industry right now.
It's telling the way you asked the question, because you said, let's talk about the peer-to-peer industry. And of course, in many ways, the industry sort of represents the adolescence or the middle stage of the growth of peer-to-peer networking and social networking using peer-to-peer technologies, because of course, peer-to-peer started as a user-generated phenomenon. When we talk about Napster, we're talking about a technology that a kid, Sean Fanning, created in a dorm room. After it became popular, it became a company, it became a business. And similarly, all of the peer-to-peer technologies that followed started as these individuals who were looking to change the world in some small way, and they created these technologies. That's true of Kazaa and LimeWire, the Nutella network, BitTorrent. I mean, it really doesn't matter which one of them you're talking about. They all started as individual, not-for-profit efforts, and then companies followed. So what's really happened over the last now 4 or 5 years is that the entertainment industry has made a very deliberate point of driving the commerce or the business out of the phenomenon. So we still have primarily young people all over the world uploading and downloading entertainment content without permission. But increasingly, the tools that they use may be non-commercial because these entertainment concerns like MPAA and RIAA have really targeted the legal entities. So you see most of them either going away entirely or doing as most recently iMesh and now BearShare have done, and that's converting their user base, or trying to convert their user base, into a paid and legitimate model.
How much is the MPAA and the RIAA driving the industry?
It's an interesting question, because in terms of the industry, they are absolutely at the helm. I mean, I would say if you are within reach of U.S. law, or the countries in which the U.S. applies a great deal of legal pressure and influence, and also legislative pressure and influence, chances are you will be answering to one of these entertainment concerns if you're not already. You will not be able to freely build businesses that, as they've characterized it, were built on the backs of their intellectual property. The problem is they are not so much at the helm of the social phenomenon and in terms of the popular behavior or the this sort of seismic shift in the way particularly young people view the internet and use the internet. I don't think anyone's really driving that except the consumer, the end user himself. And so when people get online and they do whatever it is they want to do, unfortunately for the RIAA and for the MPAA, they are not answering to those entities. The businesses are increasingly, and they've enjoyed tremendous wins. They, the entertainment industry, have enjoyed huge wins, both legislatively and legally, in converting a lot of these businesses to support their efforts to sell content online. It's a little bit different story when you're talking about the end user. There are really two issues here, and depending on where you are among the parties here, your emphasis may be on one or the other. But one issue is that we really want these infringing services to go away or to stop infringing. And so I think the primary directive, if you are in the motion picture business, if you are in the recorded music business, is to get these facilitators, as they view them, like BearShare, to stop facilitating all this infringement. Then the secondary issue is there an opportunity? Once we've achieved the prime directive, which is to get them to stop facilitating this massive, what have they called it, piratical bazaar, right? This marketplace for free black market entertainment. Once you've done that, then the next question is there an opportunity to build on the millions of customers that these services have had and create something legitimate? And it seems that if you're a young person and you're choosing to use BearShare, it's probably not because you prefer BearShare's technology or you prefer doing business with BearShare to doing business with Apple iTunes. It's probably because what you got from BearShare was free.
And that kind of leads into my next question. What is your research showing you in terms of companies that are trying to make that transition from a free-based software program to a pay-to-play based software program?
Not surprisingly, the key here to building a successful substitution or replacement product is really in meeting what ends up being a very short list of consumer wants. The appeal, the allure of the original Napster once upon a time, or today the LimeWires and the BearShares of the world, is not just in free music. It's not just in illicit or rebellious teen behavior. The key lies in virtually unlimited selection. In other words, a library so deep and so wide that you can be assured, virtually assured, of finding whatever odd piece of entertainment you're seeking. In that way, in the way that people marvel over Google, because it just seems to be so adept at making a match between someone who seeks information and the information that's out there, these peer-to-peer services are widely regarded as just being without peer, and I include iTunes when I say that, at satisfying your want for a vast array of content. So a title library that dwarfs anything that is offered legitimately is appealing, and a model that feels like free. And this is a debate or an argument that I think has been ongoing within the entertainment companies for years. There are those who say, these kids will never pay for anything. And there are those who observe, well, they spend a great deal of money on things like broadband internet access, mobile phone service, games and music and other entertainment, access through the phone. These are big businesses. And of course, what they all have in common is that they feel like free. Your parents pay the bill, or it's a recurring charge on a credit card that you're not necessarily even aware of until mom or dad wags their finger at you and says, your cell phone bill last month was a little high, Sonny. And so because of that, I think that kids in particular aren't so much focused on getting something for nothing as they're focused on doing away with the mental transaction costs of considering price at all. And so I think you can absolutely sell music and other entertainment online, but you're going to have to do it in a way that's a little bit different from what these companies are accustomed to.
How important do you think then the BearShare 6.0 beta launch is to iMesh?
Well, I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, again, the devil is in the details, in the sense that the nature, the specific nature of the offering will determine its success or failure. Broadly speaking, conceptually, the idea of trying to sell music and other entertainment to heavy downloaders of music and other entertainment is not flawed. The question is, will it really satisfy the want? So I think in terms of iMesh as a business, every one of these retail partners is tremendously important, and any one of them could be the make or break partner. You only really need one success as a proof of concept before this becomes a viable marketplace. It's so early that we don't yet have that proof of concept. And so I think in some sense, within this sector, all eyes are on each one of these launches, including BearShares.
And can you sum up the state of the industry, where it's going, and look into your crystal ball to say, you know, where you think it's going to go and end up?
Sure. I think that in some sense, we are inevitably moving toward a world in which people make a dedicated effort to build storefronts like iTunes to attract one customer, and where, on the other hand, companies build passive mechanisms for compensating rights holders in the Wild West. So, in much the same way that decades ago, radio, and particularly now I'm talking about music radio, music programming on air, was a rogue technology. And rights holders, the people that owned those songs, that owned those compositions and owned those recordings, were outraged that this upstart technology, which involved putting towers up in cornfields, was giving away the music. And yet, along the lines, somewhere along the way, a mechanism for compensating those rights holders was developed, implemented, and today, of course, radio is big business. It didn't start that way. It started as an unwanted intrusion from a new technology into an old business, and the parallels here are stunning. It's only a matter of time before we develop new ways to get compensated for new ways of consuming music.
And is there finally anything that you'd like to add on the state of the industry, the launch of BearShare 6.0?
I think that as we discuss all of these issues in 2006 now, my only surprise, having really been in the space since the original Napster was popular 7 years ago, seven lifetimes ago in internet terms, my only surprise is that it's taken us this long to come just this far. And if I'd looked into the crystal ball in 2000, certainly my five-year expectation was that we would be over some of these core issues. So I'm looking forward to seeing the marketplace develop and grow, and I hope for the sake of all of these industries a little more quickly than it has so far.
Eric Garland, CEO of online media measurement company Big Champagne, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Matt.
This is PodTech News. I'm Matt Kelly.